This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. First up, the challenges of getting a job while homeless.
So I don't think this is something people talk about or think about nearly enough, but an article that was recently published by the Malaysian Insight paints quite a bleak picture about how difficult it is for the homeless community in KL to break out of that cycle that they're caught in. Essentially, they don't have a roof over their heads because they don't have a job, and they can't get a job because they don't have a home. Really, how do you break out of that? Essentially, they're not getting jobs because when employers find out that they're homeless, they are turned away.
Yes, and that happens for a variety of reasons, right? I think it has to do as much with the question of stability and of people being able to show up for a job on a daily basis, as much as it has to do with stigma. Because even what I just said, right, there's a lot of stigma attached to the notion of being homeless. Some of the points that came up included the idea of, or the question of whether or not, okay, so if you don't have a shelter, will you use the office or the workplace as a shelter? You know, how will we ensure that? It's just all these different things that come up in association with homelessness, which isn't fair, right? Because there are lots of reasons why people might end up becoming homeless. There are also lots of reasons, as you rightly point out, why it might be difficult to change that state of affairs because you can't get a job.
Basically, it goes back to the assumption that a person becomes homeless because of some sort of personal lack or personal flaw, rather than looking at it as a larger impact of economic issues, about misfortunes in life.
Circumstance.
And it goes back to then judging a person for being homeless, and that then leading to them being thought of as not someone you'd want to hire. So for what it's worth, there have been some initiatives by the Federal Territories Ministry and DBKL. So according to KL Mayor Mahdi Chenga, DBKL succeeded in reducing the homeless community around the city through homeless rescue operations. They've also been placed in shelters, trained in various skills. And in 2020, a job placement program was initiated by the government as well, by DBKL, in collaboration with the Federal Territories Ministry, the Manpower Department, and 19 other agencies. They aim to take the homeless off the street by getting them jobs with pay between $1,200 to $1,400, with the aim that this would allow them to rent their own lodgings. Now, according to them, this has enabled 166 homeless people to be rescued during the MCO to secure jobs. That said, I don't think that's nearly wide-ranging enough. And it goes back to that question of, even if you give them the skills, if people don't want to hire them, then where does that leave them?
Yeah, so it has to go hand in hand, right? So on the one hand, you're training people and trying to empower them to be able to look for jobs, to be able to ace job interviews, for instance. But like you said, if there is still going to be the block on the side of the employer, it's not going to work, which means then that perhaps the program will need to have, or wherever it shows up, whether it's just in the Federal Territories or whether it is in other parts of Malaysia, there has to be a true collaboration, right, between the government as well as prospective employers. Anyway, we are talking today about the difficulties that homeless people face while trying to get a job, and the fact that that gets them trapped in a bit of a cycle, not being able to afford a place because they don't have a job, not being able to get a job because they don't currently have a place. So we'd like to hear from you. Would you hire a homeless person? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by Shyampriya as well as Chu Han Hong, both of Yellow House KL. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9. It is 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila, and we're talking today about the difficulties and the challenges faced of trying to get a job while homeless. And we've been asking you, therefore, what do you make of this? And also, would you hire a homeless person? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Speaking with us today on this is founder and president Shampriya and vice president Chu Han Hong from Yellow House KL, which is a not-for-profit grassroots community organization that aims to improve lives to be more sustainable for homeless people, urban poor, and refugee communities in Selangor and KL. Sham Han Hong, thank you so much for speaking with us. So what can you tell us about the situation on ground? Have you noticed an increase of homelessness in the past couple of years, especially during the pandemic?
So if we're talking about the homelessness during the pandemic, I don't know if the numbers that we see actually contributes to the real numbers, simply because the government also had their initiatives where they came and got the street community to go and stay at the shelters, right? So the numbers that we see on the street may not reflect the actual numbers. It could be more, it could be less. And, you know, we don't want to say a number and then, you know, not be accurate about it. But if we're talking about after the pandemic, yes, we feel that there has been a slight increase, because it was either during the pandemic, people have gone back to their cities, to their kampongs, to their villages, or they've gone to different cities to avoid getting into the shelters by the government. But then now, after the pandemic, we have seen a lot of people, a little slight increase in the street community, back on the streets. But again, talking about the numbers, we don't know how accurate the numbers are, because there could be the previous homeless people who have actually come back to the street. There could be B40s who have lost their jobs and, you know, have become homeless. So there could be other factors contributing to the numbers. All we know is there is a slight increase in homelessness.
Let's get into it then. What are some of the main obstacles that people from the homeless community face when they're seeking jobs?
Yeah, it could be very simple things like don't have permanent address. That leads to them, when filling in the job application, it actually gives them more obstacles to fill in, and they don't know how to fill in as well. Also, like for some of the homelessness people, they actually lost their IC, as well as they don't have the EPF account, not having resume as well. So all these simple things leads to certain obstacles for them to fill in the job applications and for the employees to take them in, because of the documents that we need to fill in. But we also notice there are homeless people that don't really have the mental capacity to fulfill the long hours of work. Let's say some of them require to do an 8-hour shift. For those that face mental challenges, it's impossible for them to complete a shift. Yeah.
And then what are the justifications given by employers or companies who reject these applications?
Right. Okay. So, see, in the past, like in our experience, right, there have been a lot of exploitation. Even when we were there trying to, like, you know, put the word out, you know, trying to get employers to come and, you know, give them a chance kind of thing, we experienced exploitation, right? Like, for example, the very easiest example I can give you is, you know, because they don't have a place to stay, and we look for employers, we look for jobs that provides accommodation, right? And they say, yeah, we know we provide accommodation. And then a week later, you see the homeless individual back at the shelter. And when we ask the employer say, oh, yeah, your guy didn't want to work. And, you know, he was demanding and stuff like that. But then when we ask the guys, the homeless individuals, why did you quit the job? And he say simply like this. Well, they said they provide accommodation, but accommodation was 10 kilometers away from the workplace. And, you know, we have to find the bus and, you know, find our way to work. So you see what I mean? What is being offered is not exactly what it is. It's not even managing expectation. It's simply, you know, saying that, yes, job, you know, accommodation is provided and everything, but then, you know, you need to pay 200 extra for the transport. All these things were not transparent. is the simplest thing that happens, right? But then if you want to dig deeper, it's also the stigma and the discrimination. So these labels, you're an ex-convict, you're a homeless person, you're this, and you know, so and then that adds to the discrimination, that adds to the stigma. And you know, we always think that, you know, a homeless individual is a, you know, substance abuser and that's why he's homeless. No, a lot of people actually take up substance abuse after they have gotten on the street. So there's a lot of things that you know, you just can't generalize and put all the homeless people at one, you know, group and say, you know, they all have this stigma on them. It's like each case is an individual case. So employers have to take extra care and they have to be a little bit more empathetic, right? You know, when they know that they're taking in homeless guys, homeless individuals. So of course, you know, like what we did was we came up with a simple aku janji lah, right? You know, just to manage expectations.
So if we could expand on that, what work do you do at the Yellow House to help with this issue of the homeless community struggling to find jobs?
To us, we've been doing this for about not very long, like maybe 11 years, 10 years kind of thing, right? And when we first started, yes, we could not for the life of us figure out what was the, you know, what are the steps, what is the, what do you call it, the ways how we can actually help, you know, the homeless guys. And then we realized that, you know, as an organization, our focus was actually on ending homelessness, not just ending homelessness, but also prevention, right? We're also doing prevention. So we prevent someone from being homeless, right? Because if you're already homeless, then it's different, but then it's something that we could prevent, right? So with the prevention, we do a lot of capacity building for the B40, and you know, anyone who thinks that they have financial issues and they think that they're going to be homeless in the next 6 months, next 1 year, they identify you know, the signs, they see the signs and they realize that they are sliding deeper into financial situations and troubles and everything, they do seek us out and we do help with prevention, right? But then those who are already on the street, we have to actually have them come to us. Because this can only be done with consent. The homeless individual has to come to us and say, look, I want to end my homelessness. Would you help? Because we can't go on the street and pick you, come with me. We want to end your homelessness. No, it has to come on their consent, their terms, right? So the thing, what we did, we did come up with a couple of initiatives. The first job initiative is to gently help them enter the workforce again. And why we say gently, you know, help them enter the workforce again is because even if you are on the street for a week or for a month, right, your psyche about the future, about getting a job, about contributing back to the society, about your capacity, your limitations, everything changes, right? Because you are exposed in that situation. So like we're talking personally or from personal experience, I was homeless for 2 months. Not very long time, 2 months. But then I could see, I could feel myself sliding further into uncertainty, even though I know my homelessness was transitional. It was temporary, right? And if you take someone from the street and you put them in an 8-hour, you know, shift, in an 8-hour job, you are actually setting them to fail. And I don't know how we don't realize this. If you've been on the street, you can't just pluck them and put them and find them a job, because they will not be able to handle the external pressure, all the internal pressure that they will experience with the change of environment, change of scenario, change of everything that they, you know, it's just not like an on-off kind of thing, right? So which is why we, you know, give them capacity building and, you know, it's not, some people may say that it's not, you know, it's mollycoddling, we are manjaing them and all that and everything. How is this mollycoddling when someone comes to you and say they want to end their homelessness, and we've come up with not just a way, but a successful way, where in the beginning, when we were doing the same mistake, we were taking people and putting them in an 8-hour shift, and then we realized that they don't even last a week. But then we tweaked, and we actually learned from other countries who have actually done this. I mean, we took ideas from them. We took ways on how they were doing it, but then in accordance to, you know, if it's suitable to our landscape, suitable for Malaysia, you know, our cultures and, you know, our practices and everything, we took whatever that we could, and we came up with a program where we increased the retention rate of employment for the homeless individuals so up to 85%. And it, of course, yes, it drops down, but then it drops down to like, you know, 45 or 50 after the fifth year when they want a career change.
In closing, on a policy level, what do we have in place to assist homeless people in this area?
I think the government needs to take a look at the policies as well. Because, okay, like if like for example, the government, right, they did this thing, the Camp Jati Diri, which we thought was fantastic. It was far, but then they rounded, you know, the street community and, you know, put them in this facility and gave them motivational talk, discipline, and, you know, got them, you know, those who are substance abusers, got them on methadone and stuff like that, right? But then at the end of the scam, which was 2 months, they gave each of the individuals 200 ringgit and dropped them back at Chowkit. So where is the sustainability in this? If we really, really want to look at addressing the social issue that we have, which is homelessness, we really need to take a look at sustainability.
Sham Han Hong, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was founder and president Sham Priya and also Vice President Chu Han Hong from Yellow House KL speaking to us today about the challenges involved in when you're homeless, looking for a job and what's needed to try and overcome that, what the government could be doing, for instance, to step in here. And we'd like to hear from you, since it is about homelessness and career hunting and jobs. Would you hire a homeless person? You can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, we've got some music. Here's Travis with Why Does It Always Rain on Me? BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.